Today, we're just having a little think about mission. Now, we could stay here for 5.5 months and do a course and conversation and understanding of how you might define or what mission is. I'm going to, for today, just boundary it like this, which is not really very boundaried. And that is, it's God's story that he reveals and shares and invites us to join in. Essentially, that's what mission is. God is a creative God. God is a missional God. He created and he walked in the garden. As the psalmist says, he continues to create new beginnings almost every day or every season. We see it in life, don't we? I mean, you're talking about the first picnic of the year. I really hope it is sunny. I had the first barbecue of my year 2 weeks ago and the second one 3 days ago, and both were wet. The food was relatively dry, but I was absolutely soaked. So this is what we're having a little think about today. Missio Dei, God's story. Not ours, but a story that we're all invited to join in with. Now, it was very interesting that you mentioned about those passages, because of course I invited you to have those passages as part of today, unknowing that. And actually, I don't know what your stories are either. And I have no idea whether those passages impact you personally in the past, whether they impact you now, or whether they will in the future. But I hope and I pray that anything that I do or don't say is here, and that anything that God says to you, to and me, by the way, today, is here. Because it's his voice that we desire to listen to today, and it's his voice that changes us, and his voice alone. It still surprises me that I'm a vicar. I don't really do that word, to be honest. I spent most of my adult life in cell church, free church, Baptist. Well, you'd call it a Baptist church because that's what was written on the wall, but it wasn't really a Baptist church. And I don't really do sort of taglines and denominations. I think they could be really unhelpful. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ. I assume that because you're here. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And any other sort of tagline that we attach to it, we should ignore. They are secondary. Amen. Thank you. Do heckle and call out. I'm not. I am so used to it where I have been. I am less used to it now where I am. God has called me to the other side of town. By the way, on that note, I've only been at St. Peter's for a couple of months. The Church of England, in their hilarity, are joining together at Laycock and giving me more than one congregation again. When I first spoke to Andrew about a pulpit swap, you know, just so he's up, because he's up at St. Peter's today, it was before I was licensed, actually. It was well before Christmas. It was after I knew I got the job. I wasn't that preemptive. But we were talking about, I mean, we've spoken before, but we reminded ourselves of some of the conversations that we'd had previously about how church shouldn't be about themselves, but all about God, but also how church isn't about themselves. This is very inward looking. You know, you want to break the walls down because everyone here is apparently already saved. We need to get the word out to those who haven't heard the message. That's our purpose. That's the Missio Dei. That's God's story. That's what we are called and invited to be conduits of. But we were talking about how this side of Chippenham in the past was affected to the glory of God because two congregations did quite a lot of work together, as I understand it. This congregation here, and the congregation at St. Peter's. And you should know that whether you're interested in it or not, Andrew and I are interested in it. So I don't know where that goes, and I don't know what God's going to have to do as part of that. But how we can work together, support each other, and equip each other as we're led by the Spirit in order that other people hear the good news and are enabled to have an opportunity to be convicted by the Spirit themselves. Because that's an important thing to remember in mission. You don't convert anyone, and neither do I. The Spirit convicts. We witness. We represent. We declare. We proclaim. Any conviction comes from God himself. So, to these two passages. Isaiah's Commission modern Bibles call this one. Because ultimately it is about God, clearly, but it's also about Isaiah. You've got to remember that Isaiah is written, it's a prophecy essentially. Okay, so God has a word that he needs his people to hear. In this case, particularly Judah at the time. Judah were living in sin and rebellion, and God needed to call them back to order. And this was Isaiah's job, Isaiah's role. This is why we see this commission. But the commission's quite an interesting one. Consider this for a moment. At the sound of their voice, I'm talking at verse 4, so if you've got Bibles open, you can look if you want. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. Who's talking there? Isaiah is talking. Woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined. Isaiah at this moment is the one getting the word from God, because he's yet to be sent. But this is a moment of conviction. There is a recognition here for Isaiah of who Isaiah is, and possibly more importantly, who Isaiah isn't. Woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King. There is a conviction there. He's seen something and thinking, oh my gosh, this is you, and oh my gosh, this is me. And then we go on, and we go down to verse 7. With it, I can think of better ways, all right, of being forgiven. But in the conviction, Isaiah is sort of repenting. He's had that recognition of who he is and who God is and who God might want him to be other than what he actually is. And then we get this coal that's touched. Cold rivers and being baptized is one thing. Making a verbal declaration is one thing. Having a dirty, red, hot coal stuck on the lips is quite another. But this is the picture that we're given. See, this has touched your lips, Isaiah is told. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. There's a picture here of forgiveness. There's a picture here that Isaiah has had of recognition, conviction and repentance, which then he receives, having done that, forgiveness. Forgiveness from God, by the way, through a hot coal. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? This is Isaiah speaking again. I heard the voice of the Lord, Isaiah says. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah heard it. God is speaking. Interestingly, plural. We're built from a community of God. We are built from relationship and community. Jesus was there right at the outset of creation. The Spirit was there right at the outset of creation. God the Father was there right at the outset of creation. We struggle to understand this three in one, one in three, but friends, if we understood absolutely everything, then we'd be God. And as beautiful as you are, I don't see God there. And I don't see God here either. Sorry. We're not. We see Isaiah hearing God's voice, but then responding. Because when he hears, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The community of God is speaking to Isaiah, and his response is, here I am, send me. Now, come on. Who's ever heard the voice of God? Who's ever sensed or felt guided by God? There's always more hands that go up for that. God can speak audibly, and some of us hear, and some of us would term hearing clearly from God as hearing the voice of God. No criticism from me there either way. But generally we understand our guiding from God a little bit more easier than hearing the voice of God, because we struggle with the concept that he speaks to us. But he does, and he can. And sometimes it's through emotion, and sometimes it's through circumstance, and sometimes it's through thought, and sometimes it's in your daily quiet time when you're opening the scriptures. But when he speaks, however he speaks, always the invitation is to respond. And we see this here from Isaiah. He responds, and he seems to do it just like that. Here I am, send me. Now I tell you what, the world would be an awful better place, and it would be so much more alive for the Lord if all of us who have heard and sensed and felt or seen God moving around us and raising that question of, okay, so who's going to do the work for me? Who's going to be a good witness for me? Who's going to declare for me? Who's going to be the evangelist? Who's going to go out and tell people who don't already know? If we said, yep, I've got it, God, I've heard you, send me. The world would be an awful better place. But we don't. We worry about whether we're good enough. We worry about whether we've got it. We worry about whether we've heard correctly. Here, Isaiah hears, and he responds. And he gets commissioned and sent, doesn't he? Here I am, send me. He doesn't say, here I am, I've heard you, I've got it, I'm off. No. He says, here I am, send me. Isaiah, even at this point, still gets the idea that it isn't him. It's God. It's not him. It's not about him. It's not his story. He is responding and being led. Now, just close your eyes for a moment. And if you get vertigo and you struggle even sat down with it, then that's fine. It's not compulsory. But let's just close our eyes for a moment. And as you got your eyes closed, just think back to yesterday. And think who you saw yesterday. Or who you spoke to yesterday. Or who came to your door yesterday. Or who you thought of yesterday. Who you worked with. Who you played with. Who you wish you were talking to. And open your eyes again for a moment, please. That's your mission field. You see, we get the idea of what mission is as being sent out to go somewhere else, which it can be. And some of us are, but not all of us are. You know, there's that old phrase of mission begins at home. I don't really go for phrases like that. There's only so far you can take them. But actually, first and foremost, one must understand that we are God's witnesses, and we are called to reflect God, and we are sent where we are. So all those people that you've just been thinking about, all those people you had opportunity to see, I mean, it might be that you live alone and you didn't actually see anyone yesterday. And that's a huge tragedy of communities today, but it does happen. And that's why I invited you to think of who you might wish to, or who you had the opportunity to phone or ring or send a message to or even go and knock on the door of. All of us have the actuality or the opportunity to engage with many people during the course of a short period of time. That's your mission field. Even if they already know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. You hear in Proverbs, don't you? Iron sharpens iron. The purpose of being here is for us to worship God, to glorify God, and to receive feeding from God through prayers, through song, through the written word, sometimes through what whoever it is at the front says, but not always. But we do it in order to then go back out and share it. You've heard it already in some of the things that we've heard being said through Di's words. Di's a Welshman, I love him. I know I don't sound it, but I got Welsh heritage. Sorry, just need to slip that one in there. I first met Di when he was at my sister's wedding because his wife was singing at it. He shared a house with my now brother-in-law during university. Amazing guy. If you're into spoken word and you have never heard him before, look up more of what he does. He works for the Bible Society part-time as well. They do some amazing stuff. And it's a really interesting way of depicting something about mission, something about what God has for the world that he's created, something about what we are invited to become a part of because we hear God, we're convicted by God, we recognize who we are, we repent of who we are compared to God, then we hear the calling after the receiving of forgiveness, and we are sent. It was entitled Unleash, I don't know if you noticed that at the end. Dyer actually wrote that for a Spring Harvest theme a few years ago, just before COVID. It was entitled Unleashed. The point was, we're all on a mission. You mentioned it yourself. We are all missionaries. You are all evangelists. Did you know that? Some people balk when I say that and they think, oh no, I can't do that. Sorry. Yeah, you are all evangelists. If you are not doing the work of an evangelist, if you are not declaring the truth, then I'm going to say this in, again, beautiful grace, I hope, and love. You're a part-time Christian. If you come to church every Sunday of your life and you are faithful to this community, then bless you for it. But if you never take anything that you hear and God says to you when you're in this space, outside of the space, then we are a part-time Christian. We are called and invited to join in with this big story of God, to be sent. There was a picture given by a guy I was at college with. I'll share this picture. It's his dream. He dreamt he was approaching the pearly gates. And there was a whole crowd in front of him at the pearly gates. But as he was sort of traversing more towards it, there was a gap opening up. And as the gap was opening up and he was getting closer, he could see things a bit more clearly. He could see the pearly gates a bit more clearly. He could see someone at the pearly gates, you know, beckoning him and inviting. Remember, this is a dream that he had. But also, as he got closer, he started to hear some of the noise. It wasn't just a cacophony. It became a little bit more identified. And he also started to recognise some of the faces that were around as well as he got closer to the pearly gates. And it was at that point his dream was just about to come to an end. Clearly he didn't know that at that time. But his dream ended feeling really challenged and convicted. He describes it as waking up a little bit like a nightmare, because he woke up with a bolt. But when he woke up with a bolt, the thought that was in his head was what he had heard the closer he got to the gates, from the faces he was recognizing. And there were these words: why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Wow. Think of those faces you thought of a moment ago. Just imagine that Jesus comes back now. Hallelujah, Lord. That's what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, by the way. Come now. Did you know that? I'm sure you do. Jesus came back now. And the world as we know it ended now. What about those that you know and have opportunity to connect with? How do you feel if you haven't told them the good news that God loves them? No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what they do, God loves them and accepts them exactly as they are. Of course, he doesn't leave us when we meet with him, but that's his job. Our job is witness. Our job is declaration. Our job is proclamation. Our job is not coercion. Our job is not submission. Our job is not to judge. We had those two verses, didn't we, in Romans. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? So how do people come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour? Well, people come, in my view, to a community of faith, whether it's here or somewhere else, to a community of faith with God, to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and to declare themselves as a disciple of Jesus Christ. In other words, faith. I don't do religion. I don't do religiosity. Faith. relationship with God, with each other, in God's name. That's how they come. That's how discipleship works. That's how evangelism works. People come to know Jesus because they recognize Jesus in someone they know. The people who know you, I would like to think, recognize Jesus in you. And they see something they want. They see something that's different. And in that wanting it and different and probably question, sometimes immediately and sometimes over a period of time, they will start asking for themselves. And that's how the Spirit works, in using us as witnesses and mirrors of God's truth, light and love, that others see something they can't get in the world, they can't get from any other man-made religiosity, but they see something in this thing called Christian faith. They think, wow, that's different, or I want some of that, or that scares me. All of those can lead them to explore for themselves, and in the exploration themselves, that's how conviction happens, that's how the Spirit's power works. I'm teaching many of you to suck eggs. You know this stuff. Preaching isn't really about telling you stuff that you don't know. Preaching is about just reminding us sometimes and enabling us to see the word for what it is, and maybe allowing God to instill in us a slightly different slant, or just a remembrance of something we've heard 50 times, and then we haul ourselves up and think, yeah, I've heard that before and I've never done it. Sorry, God. Okay, here I am. Send me. Because how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can someone hear without someone? That's not about bringing them to church, it can be. You are a living, walking version of God's story. The moment you are baptized and submit to Christ, the moment you declare faith, the moment you receive forgiveness, you are equipped and released and sent. So who is it in your life and my life that we need to just, you know, put our big girl pants on or big boy pants on and actually say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry I ain't done it before and I still feel inadequate, but here I am. Send me. Because remember this, Isaiah didn't come up with the words that he was to declare to Judah. God came up with the words that he was to declare to Judah. And actually, some of them were quite hard, weren't they? Be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. I find that fascinating. I think God already knew that although he was giving Isaiah a commission to go and speak to his people in Judah, to remind them that they're living in sin and separation from God when they shouldn't be, and they need to haul themselves up and come back to God, I think God also knew that they were too far gone. They couldn't do it on their own. That's what I see here. There was an understanding from God in the words that he gave Isaiah. I think that's why Isaiah was told to go and say, be ever hearing but never understanding. He wasn't called to judge them and condemn them. It was just the reality that they couldn't do it on their own. Do you know the other theme about the prophecy of Isaiah as a total? I mean, there are many themes from many of the books, of course. But what's one of the other major themes in the prophecy that Isaiah gives? Jesus, thank you. Particularly the birth of Jesus. So if you look at the entire prophecy of Isaiah, you can see judgment and reminder, you know, of you're doing it wrong, guys. You can also see the idea that God knew that they couldn't do it on their own, because way back before everything, when God was all there, Jesus was already planned to come. And maybe in the same prophetic voice, that's what Isaiah was commissioned to say. And remember that when you go and speak to these folks, when you put your big girl and big boy pants on, and you say, there's someone who loves you way more than I love you. Remember your scent. Remember they can't do it on their own, in the same way as you can't do it on your own. And point to the one that it's all about. Simples. It was a great advert. It is. Evangelism and discipleship actually is really, really simple. When you go and buy something at the shop next, perhaps say to the cashier, thank you ever so much. God bless you and God bless your day. I'll tell you what, when you've done that 150 times, you'll be surprised how many conversations come from it. But you don't do it to have the conversation. If the conversation comes, it's because in that moment they're sensing some sort of conviction and they're responding, they're wanting to know something. Fine, have the conversation. But you don't do it for that, you do that because you're declaring truth. And you are playing a part in God's big story, Missio Dei, which is all about him and not about us. Because the more we do it and the more we exercise it, the more likely we can sit in this room in 7 months' time, close our eyes, think of the people that are around us that we have opportunity, and actually, not in a pleasing way, because it's about pleasing God's will and stepping in line with his spirit. It's not about us being better Christians. But wouldn't it be great if we could sit here, close our eyes, think of those people, knowing that every single one of them we have declared truth to. Maybe they haven't crossed the bridge to come to church. Maybe they wouldn't declare themselves as Christians. But the moment we say it, job done. Because everything that comes after that is the Lord's work. But guess what, friends? If we don't do it in the first place, our job ain't done. Simples. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Precious Lord, some of us are here knowing and yearning and desiring now to leave this place, not because we need to get away and Simon spoke for too long or we don't want to chat to anyone else, but we know who we want to go and speak to, who we need to speak to and who you are calling and sending us out to speak to. Some of us are sat here thinking, I know it, but I still struggle with it. Some of you are sat here thinking, I think I know it. But I hope someone else in this room speaks to me because I haven't quite got it yet. And there'll be other thoughts going on. But Heavenly Father, I pray, we pray, that the goodness of who you are would shine through the frailty of our humanity. That we ourselves are enabled to see that you love us and you desire us to love others and to show your love to those around us. Give us courage, Lord. Even if we think we got the wrong size big boy and big girl pants, help us to pull them on with courage to walk in your footsteps, to share the good news that Jesus died for all. That Jesus rose again for the whole of creation. To show that death, as painful and as tragic as it can be in human form, is not the end. It is but a doorway through which we travel. Because you love us. Because you love us. Because you love us. All. Amen. Amen.